Okay, so we are in the middle of a series of talks here on Sundays at BLV, considering the why of this church. So customarily, I wonder if you're familiar with churches. Customarily, the why question for churches has focused on determining who is in and who is out. But at this church, we take very seriously Jesus' teachings that human beings should avoid spending their energy on questions of in and out, that we're just simply not qualified to answer those kind of questions, who's in, who is out. The thing is, though, is that many of us may have a lot of trouble imagining a spiritual or religious message that isn't focused on in versus out. We're like, isn't in versus out? Isn't that what religion is, we might think? And if that's not what religion is everything just the same then? Like, what's the big fuss about Jesus? It's good questions. You know, in our experience here at this church, setting aside questions of in versus out as a poor use of our energy and attention doesn't make following Jesus matter less. It makes following Jesus matter more. It frees us up to imagine questions surrounding our faith and our religion and our spirituality to become about the things that matter most in life. So we've talked in the series about connection, about how in a city that can be a lonely place, how following Jesus increases our capacity to build meaningful relationships with people. We talked a few weeks ago about how following Jesus increases our ability to find God in all people, even those that differ from us, so we can break out of that echo chamber experience of life where everyone thinks and believes the same as we do. And then last week, Kyle talked inspiringly about justice, about how following Jesus connects us to a bigger story of pursuing societal equity and dignity for all people. This week, I want to talk about something else that matters immensely to life, growth. There's a phrase we use from time to time in this church because it's felt so helpful to me and to Kyle, who you met a moment ago. The phrase is, everyone grows old, but not everyone grows up. Does it make sense, right? Yeah. So in a perfect world, our spiritual and our social emotional development would track with our physical development, right? Like we'd become more mature and more wise and more content every year of life, just like our age goes up. That ranking would go up. But of course, we don't live in a perfect world. All of us hit roadblocks. All of us experience traumas along the way. All of us sometimes fail to get the tools we need to mature well. And those roadblocks and traumas and lack of support stunt and stall our internal growth, even while on the outside we're still getting older. I mean, we need look no further than the state of our country's politics for an example of the high stakes of this, right? Unfortunately, from local politicians here in Chicago, right up to the very top in the President of the United States, we see behavior that seems to point to adults who have grown old but have not grown up. Whether it's a refusal to apologize, pointing a finger at the other side instead of admitting fault, or just being dishonest, we too often see people meant to be leaders acting in ways that are the exact opposite of the ways we would teach our children what growing up and becoming more mature is all about. Now, of course, that's the most extreme example. But it's not just the extremes that matter. Day in, day out, the egos we experience may not be quite at the same level. The influence may not be quite so far-reaching as government leaders. But in countless little, less extreme, but very significant ways, the reality is the same. Everyone grows old, but not everyone necessarily grows up. And the sad truth is that that impact of people's internal growth being stalled doesn't just stay at home. It falls onto other people. I wonder if you've ever been consistently like mistreated or disrespected or even abused by a supervisor or a boss or a coworker. My wife once observed about workplaces she's been in that stress seems to trickle down. So the stress of a manager gets taken, or a supervisor gets taken out on a middle manager, and the middle manager then takes it out on their staff, and then the staff takes it out on their clients or their students or their customers, and on and on and on and on and on, right? Or how about when you get the finger from a random stranger in traffic? Has that ever happened to you? Has it only happened to me? Okay, maybe there is a common denominator. But I just feel like I get the finger sometimes in traffic for reasons that feel like, did that really warrant this? Like, was it that inconvenient what I just did? Not a perfect driver. You know, there often is no logical explanation to getting so mad in traffic. But in the, you know, anonymity and power of the car, your mobile metal palace, right? Our rage feels the freedom to just escape, yeah? Maybe we know this full well because sometimes we're the one giving the finger in traffic. How about when we take our anger out on a roommate or a spouse or a friend or even our kids, even though we're actually angry at someone else? Well, as we have throughout this series, I want to visit another saying from Jesus where he offers a reason why following him really, really matters. This one, I think, is about growth. It's about how not to get stalled, and it's about how not to end up passing on those things, the impact of those things, to others. He uses the old-time phrase for follower, disciple. I'll put it here on the screen for you. It's also in your program if you're following along. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." So as he often is here, Jesus is kind of paradoxical, right? What exactly is he saying? I want to pass on something that's really helped me think about this. It's from a 14th century monk. His name was Thomas A Kempis. I'm going to read it for you here in a second. But basically what I took away from A Kempis was this suggestion. It's take this saying from Jesus that I have up on the screen for you and try replacing the word cross with any suffering in your life. So like this. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and take up any suffering in your life and follow me. Here's the bit from A Kempis where I got this. I'll read it for you here. Says, "The cross is always ready. It awaits you everywhere. No matter where you may go, you cannot escape it. Turn where you will, above, below, without, or within, you will find a cross in everything. If you carry the cross willingly, it will carry and lead you to the desired goal where indeed there shall be no more suffering. If you carry it unwillingly, you create a burden for yourself and increase the load, though still you have to bear it. If you cast away one cross, you will find another, and perhaps a heavier one. Do you expect to escape what no mortal man can ever avoid? Which of the saints was without a cross or trial on this earth? Not even Jesus Christ our Lord, who is every hour on earth knew the pain of his passion. How is it that you look for another way than this? The royal way of the holy cross." Okay, so yes, A Kempis is a bit dark. I'm going to grant that, right? He was a 14th century monk. Give him a break, okay? If you lived in the 14th century, maybe you would talk differently. But to my mind, he is dead on. I mean, what he's saying here, no person who has ever lived has ever not suffered. Even Jesus, especially Jesus, he actually says. No person has ever not at some point experienced tragedy or humiliation or exclusion or been the victim of someone else's anger or been pushed to their limit by stress or felt overwhelmed. No person. So all of that, on the terms of following Jesus, let's call that your cross, okay? A life well lived cannot avoid its cross, cannot avoid stresses, humiliations, mistakes, pain inflicted by others. If we ever think we've successfully avoided something, invariably something else will come our way, A Kempis says. A life well lived willingly carries all of this, your cross. You take it and let it work its way through you on your terms. Because one way or another, a kempis, and Jesus seemed to suggest, it will work its way through you. And if that process is not on your terms, then that suffering will be processed, it will be passed on to someone else on its terms. Through things like passive-aggressive body language. Maybe. Maybe outright aggression and violence. Internal resentment, self-pity that bleeds out into our every interaction. Hypersensitivity, defensiveness maybe, blame shifting. So I've heard it said this way. If you do not transform it, you will transmit it. If you do not transform it, you will transmit. If you do not transform your stress and pain, you will transmit your stress and pain to someone else. Your spouses, your kids, your coworkers, especially those who report to you, your friends, your siblings, your parents, or a stranger in traffic. I don't mean this to sound mean. Like, it's just, this is the reality of it. This is what happens. It feels absolutely true to me. So when I am stressed, like, for example, the example I'll work for you is an unfinished conflict. This really gets me riled up when I'm in conflict with someone and it's not finished. So say my wife or my co-pastor Kyle, who you met a moment ago, they're the people I'm closest to, so I'm in conflict with them more than anybody else, right? Here's what happens to me when I'm in conflict. My mind enters a tunnel, and it's the only thing that I can think about, this conflict. I can usually function enough to get things that are routine done, but anything beyond routine, I'm not really with you. Inside, I am mulling over the conflict. I'm replaying it. I'm asking myself, what now? I'm justifying my side of the conflict. I'm imagining how they might respond to what I say, and I say, oh, but have you thought of this? And I'm guessing at how they'll react to that, and I'm building my case. What I'm told by these two, by my wife, Kezia, and my co-pastor, Kyle, and by other people who have observed me in conflict before, I'm lucky to have had other friends who I trust that have actually seen me in conflict with somebody else. What I'm told is that I become very intense. That's a very diplomatic word, I think. So my body language is confrontational. I am shorter and harsher when I speak. I'm not so careful. And then if we start trying to work through the conflict, even if the other person is telling me, like, you know, they'd like to take a breather, or can we come back to this for a minute? I am aggressively insistent that we have to finish things. I keep bringing it up. I won't drop it. I don't know why they think I'm intense. It doesn't feel true to me at all. I don't. In these situations, my stress is passing through me untransformed on its terms, not mine. And therefore, I am transmitting it to the people I'm with. When I am intense with Kezia or Kyle in conflict, it does not make things easier. It makes things harder. Then their defenses go up, and now they have stress to process, and the cycle begins. You know, other friends of mine with different temperaments and personalities, they describe similarly challenging dynamics showing up in their lives. They just present challenges in different ways. So one friend I know doesn't become more intense when they're stressed out. They become more distant. They disappear. They say everything is fine when internally everything is not fine. Transmission for them is the people around them feeling dismissed, like they don't deserve the time of day because this person's just disappearing. Another friend, when stressed, can't help but subtly turn every conversation back to them and their story. And they say, like, they realize everyone else's stories and stresses are just things that remind them of their own. Transmission in these cases, for people, if you see yourself in that, is that people around you feel passive-aggressively told that they're a burden because everything's always about your story and how stressed you are. And there are other things that can set off transmission. It's not just my example of an unfinished conflict. Feeling exposed or humiliated or embarrassed can set us off. Feeling regret or recognizing a mistake can set us off. someone bringing up a topic that makes us uncomfortable, like money or political opinions, or as a dad of young kids, I feel this one, parenting styles. Or the really big stuff, experiencing a tragedy or a loss, a trauma from our past being triggered. All of these present us with the choice, transform or transmit. So when we recognize patterns of transmitting in our lives, what do we do? I want to share, for me, 7 ways that I've experienced some success transforming so I don't transmit. If you prefer Jesus's language, 7 ways to carry our crosses. So I'll throw these at you, okay? They're in your program, too, if you're following along that way. Number 1, get good at identifying when you're stressed out. So just knowing what's going on inside us can sometimes go a long way towards stopping us from transmitting. But this is harder than it seems. If you're like me, and you tend to think about the emotions you're having rather than just feel them, try to pay attention to signals of stress that your body gives you. Like, for me, it's shoulder tension. I don't often pay attention to that, but when I take a moment and I realize, oh, my shoulders are tense, that helps me realize I'm stressed out. If you're more like my friend Kyle over here, and you feel your emotions and wear them on your sleeves pretty much immediately, you probably have an easier time recognizing when you're stressed. The challenge for you in those situations is being careful not to transmit almost immediately through your body language. But just getting good at identifying this can help us, can be a big help to not transmitting. Number 2, have go-to prayers or songs to help calm you. So I have learned that I am an extremely tightly wound person. So I need this a lot. I have lots of go-to prayers and songs. When I find myself unable to drop something, like the example I was talking about earlier, an unfinished conflict, I turn to one of my go-to prayers or songs. I repeat them over and over, like in the shower, or I listen to them when I'm walking or driving to my next appointment or something like that, just kind of on loop. And as I do this, I feel the volume dial get turned down. Feel myself able to take deep breaths and relax. These are so useful right after you've been flipped off in traffic. I've got to say, they're really, really useful there to stop the cycle of transmitting before it happens, before I continue it. I've included in your program a couple of links to one of my go-to prayers and one of my go-to songs. The prayer is the prayer of Teresa of Avila. If you're interested in that, you can check that out. It has a melody to it, so it's both a prayer and a song. It's a 2-for-1, ladies and gentlemen. That's very cool. And the other is a song by an artist, Fernando Ortega, and the song is, "Oh God, You Are My God." And if you're interested in those, you can follow those links and check it out. There are plenty of wonderful prayers and songs, and I can give you lots of suggestions because, like I said, I have a lot of them. So feel free to ask me for more. Number 3, if anger is something you are noticed that you are transmitting, prioritize physical outlets, okay? So sometimes it's hard to transform anger in particular, because transmitting it gives a very brief sense of, like, satisfaction. I let somebody have it, right? Feels good. Tastes good. It usually goes away, and then you have negative consequences. What I've learned is that anger longs to be recognized in some way. So it doesn't want to be told to calm down. I'm not sure if you've ever tried to tell somebody who's clearly angry to calm down. It does not work. Anger wants to be told, yes, I see that you're angry. I see that. And so I found doing something that physically tires me out is a great stand-in for that need to be recognized. I have a feeling like I did something. I'm like physically tired afterward. Does that make sense? For many people I know, this is exercise or running. It's a great way to transform anger. So if that's something that you like to do, think about it as a spiritual experience. Think about it as a prayerful experience when you're running. That might help you transform some anger. For me lately, this has been, I'm trying to learn drums. I'm getting a little bit better. So drums, like, that is an instrument when you play, like, you have to take deep breaths afterward. You're tired. You got to take a shower. So I'm trying to do that. In the past, it's been playing basketball, so sports can help a lot. Number 4, tell stories about your humiliations, not just your triumphs. So I don't mean, like, willingly make yourself feel ashamed. That's not what I'm saying here. What I mean is we need to learn how to laugh at ourselves, especially if we're not very good at that. learning to laugh at myself has been a hard process for me. I think because as a kid, I felt laughed at a lot. But the more I improve at this, the less guarded and defensive I feel when I receive feedback or when I make a mistake. Just learning to laugh at myself. So when you are sitting down with a roommate or your spouse or a close friend and you're like swapping stories about the day or something like that, include a story of humiliation every now and then. See how that goes for you. Maybe it helps you learn to laugh at yourself a little bit. Number five, apologize to someone you've transmitted to. So this can speak powerfully to a person that you apologize to. If you recognize, yeah, I have totally done this in the past, and I hate to say it, but we all have done this in the past. In my experience, the best part about this is actually not so much that it speaks so powerfully to somebody else. What it does for me, it allows me to think more clearly and be more present. Something spiritual happens inside of us when we humble ourselves and apologize. So I wonder, who is someone that you have transmitted to? And maybe you could, you know, oh, maybe they have this language too. Maybe they're in this room and you can try it that way. If not, like, just a simple apology. Like, hey, I think I took some anger out on you. Or I think I was sad about this and I was distant from you as a result of that. And that wasn't you. That was on me. Number six, let other people in when you're stressed or in pain. Here is an unfortunate misreading of Jesus' carrier cross command. The misreading is that he is talking about some heroic individual effort that you have to exert, and that needing help would be cheating and not doing it right. And that's not correct. Carrying your cross often means others are helping you. In the story of Jesus' passion, there is this hard but beautiful moment when a man named Simon ends up carrying Jesus' literal cross for him as a part of Jesus' execution. One of the most life-changing decisions I've ever made is to never feel stressed out alone. If I am ever experiencing stress, I've just committed to the fact that either Kezia, my wife, or Kyle, my good friend, or both will know it. I will process a little bit of that for them. Now, this doesn't always lessen the stress. Sometimes it does, actually. Just talking about it with somebody else. That often makes a big difference. Sometimes it doesn't, but it stops me from feeling alone. And that is a huge part of stress and pain, is feeling alone. And my last way to transform so you don't transmit is to work with a counselor on the big stuff. So in the same vein as letting other people in, we are big believers here that everyone can benefit from some professional counseling. The biggest roadblocks and traumas that we experience along our way often require seasoned and knowledgeable help to transform so we don't transmit. That's not something that we can do on our own always. And so our church keeps a list of therapists that we're connected to and trust. And should that be something that you are thinking of, that you would benefit from, reach out to us and we'll help you get connected. Definitely later in the service, we'll have a chance for everybody to just like talk back to us through one of our little card that you'll fill out. And that's a place where you can safely say, hey, I would be curious about counseling, and we will follow up with you. So I want to say, all of this, to me, this is as high stakes as life gets. Transforming, not transmitting. Not because you are going to hell if you don't do this. Not because you are out with Jesus if you don't do this. But because transforming rather than transmitting is about how you will experience your life. Like, do you like your life? That's an interesting question. Have you ever asked yourself that? Do I like my life? And transforming rather than transmitting is about the kind of impact you will have on those you are around most often. Do other people like when you're around? This plays a big role on this. I've never encountered a promise like Jesus is here. He doesn't just describe reality accurately when he talks about the stakes of carrying your cross. He promises help. There is spiritual help to do the hardest internal work that people have to do in life, healthily processing stresses and pains and traumas. That is hard, the hardest work you will ever do. Can you do that internal work without spiritual help? Some extraordinary people seem to be able to, But even if you are one of those extraordinary people, why would you? Like, there is an offer for connection with and help from the God of the universe. Why would you go a different route? This is the great message of Jesus. God is not distant. He is not cold. God is good and caring and actually invested in your life. And so following Jesus for me has been the difference between a reactive existence, a tiring existence of just passing my stress and my pain on to other people, and a resilient life capable of finding peace, capable of like finding some grounding even when I'm experiencing stress and pain, so that I can make wise choices, so I can make healthy choices for my life. Following Jesus has been the difference for me. I want to pray for us in this space. Perhaps this is bringing up thoughts for you. Perhaps maybe one of the seven things up here is striking something in you. And the way I want to start praying is by praying a prayer from the Psalms, the prayer book of the Bible, over us in a minute. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I'm going to start by praying for the Psalms. Would you stand with me? You can close your eyes or open your eyes, whatever helps you to feel comfortable. And I'm gonna begin. I'm just going to read this psalm over us, and I want you to consider it a prayer. This is from Psalm 84. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, God, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water. I'll read that one more time. Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water. God, help us to go through the desolate valley, not try to go around it. Help us to believe what this psalm prays over us, that we will find it a place of springs. That does not feel true. God, help us. We need help. This is not something meant to be done alone. This is not something that we have to muster up our willpower to accomplish. This is something that you promise to us. If we go through the desolate valley and not try to run around it, you will make it a place of springs to us. And so as we bring to mind, I'm just going to be quiet for a minute. I'm going to encourage you in your own mind here to bring to mind what is the most dialed up, high volume stress or pain in your life right now. God, as we have these in our minds, I invite your Holy Spirit to be with us in this place, that we would feel you, God, are close to us. You don't just have good ideas. We don't just read about you in a book. We feel you here. And so I pray that to our ability, we'd be able to feel you close to us right now, God, as we have this stress in our mind or this pain in our mind. And now I pray, God, that as we acknowledge, if I do not transform this, I will transmit it, that you will speak to us your help right now, that you care. You are with us in this. It is not low stakes to you. And as we go about our week ahead, we would carry with us this sense that the God of the universe is invested in me transforming this thing. He feels the volume turned up as well. I am not alone in that. I'll stay in that place of prayer with me right now. What I'm going to do, I'm going to invite our band up, who's going to take us into a time of song. And this is a way to continue praying. I want you to stay in that sort of internal space right now. And I encourage you, there can be times when we're singing together where we feel God speaking to us individually. It's a very individual experience. And there can also be experiences where we feel really connected to the people around us. We want you to know how whatever takes you into that space is all right with us. So we'll have words on the screen. You can sing along. Other people like to just sit back and let the music hit them. And that is absolutely cool too. Whatever helps you to feel prayerful in this space. And in addition, we have a prayer team every week that will be available in between the stairs here, in between the balcony and the lower section. They're going to have a little lanyard that'll say prayer team on it, so you'll be able to recognize them. Any one of the folks on this team is trained and would love to pray with you, specifically if something is riling up in you as I'm talking to you. There is a stress or a pain that you need some help transforming. Or if you came in with any need or circumstantial matter that you would love prayer for. And in addition, our prayer team also wanted to flag that if you felt particularly affected this week by hashtag Me Too, we would like you to get prayer this morning. If that hit you, our prayer team has been praying all week and saying, God, what are you doing this week? And this is what came up. And so if that's you, we want you to get prayer this week, whether you are a woman who feels affected by it, or also if you're a man that feels affected by this, we want you to get prayer this morning. Let me pass it off to Sergio here.